The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, it is that time of the week. It is the best Tuesday I've had all week, and it is time for the True Wealth Radio Show. I am your host, Dave Littlejohn, joined in studio today with
Matt Dixon.
And also, I have officially roped in unpaid labor. Right?
Yay.
But I am allowed.
Yeah,
she's technically on payroll. Sometimes she is paid, but really. So I brought my daughter Madison in today. Hi, Mads.
Hi, Dad.
So, and if you're wondering why we're doing this, so Mads, first, let's help all of our listeners understand. Tell me, like, real quickly, what is your, like, 30-second bio? Like, how old are you? Where are you going to school? What's your story?
Okay, I'm Madison Littlejohn, 17. I'm currently going to Sutherland and UCC at the same time. That's
yep, going
all
into
the
senior year.
Yeah, that's all the cool facts about me.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. And she's not a basketball player because she's not 6 feet tall.
I tried. It didn't work.
Yeah, but we tried, so we like it. All right, well, look, thanks for joining the show. Today, if you're curious, why would we do this besides the fact that, you know, they gave us microphones and they let us get away with it? We want to talk a little bit about money from the perspective of today's, I would call it youth, but you're kind of representing a little bit of this. And Matt and I have been doing our homework on this too. Matt, you get to represent some youth too.
Sure.
I'll be the not youth in the room, which means I get to ask a lot more questions today of you two. But the reason that we're doing this is a lot of the time on the True Wealth Show, you know, we're talking about investing. We're still going to cover some of that. We're talking about retirement planning and, you know, the kind of financial topics that are really typical for a lot of the listeners in our area that listen to talk radio. But for some of you out there, we're now live on YouTube, right?
Yep.
And so for our YouTube community, we wanted to offer something that would be a little bit of a spin, still relevant, but what does today's financial picture look like through the eyes of younger people?
Right, because we're always talking about our own personal experiences with things, but that doesn't always represent people in a different generation.
Right, and I think that there's some significant generational differences. Now, I can tell you, I land in Gen X. Okay, Gen X is kind of a unique scenario because we have characteristics of both sides of the digital footprint, right? Prior to Gen X, most of the world was pretty analog, right? Computers were present, but people had careers without a whole lot of computers.
Mm-hmm.
And then during my lifetime, I've kind of watched where color television took over and then became flat TVs. And the iPhone, there were no cell phones, then there were cell phones, then they got small, and then they became small computers in your pockets,
mm-hmm.
right? And iPads showed up. And so, Matt's like, you barely know a world without iPads.
Yeah.
Right? That's just always been in mm-hmm. your world. Okay? So, you think about, and so, again, Gen X, you kind of have a foot in two different worlds because watched all this technology at an age where we incorporated all of it into our lives. I see prior generations that kind of go, ah, computers, I don't like that. Right? And then I see today, people are like, I can't do it. There's not a computer on it. Right? So, we get to see both worlds. But you being what we call a digital native, right? It's always been part of your life, gives you a unique perspective. And I think our listeners would benefit from understanding a little bit of that. So I think you are technically a Gen Z. If we were looking at the age ranges, you're a Gen Z. If you're about age 10 or younger, you're now in what they call Gen Alpha.
Okay. Is that what they've named it now?
Yep.
It's so stupid.
So we ran out of letters. We had to go back yeah. around to the start, right?
Right. We ran out.
So we had Gen X, Gen Y, which is also millennial, I think, mm-hmm. then Gen Z, right?
Yeah.
So thanks for representing Gen Z. You now represent every Gen Z in the universe.
I've got this.
Okay, well.
I love the confidence.
Exactly. Yeah, she is.
Speak for all of them.
Yeah, I will speak for my people. Well done, Moses. Okay, so the first question here is kind of a doozy. And by the way, I didn't prep Madison for this, so we're about to see how she does on her feet.
Okay. Uh-oh.
So the question is, what, here's a really loaded one. Do you think that your financial future is less optimistic, about the same, or more optimistic than your parents?
I think I have a lot of opportunities like available to me, because like you can make money online doing like TikToks and things, but I mean I won't. But like if I compare it to you guys, I feel like we do have it easier because there's all of these jobs. Like I can work remotely from home and do all these things. It's like you guys can't work from home remotely. Does that make sense?
I think I get what she's saying. Yeah. Like your generation grew up where you had to just show up and punch a clock.
You have to just go into it. Like you didn't get a choice. My generation's like, well, I want to work full time. Okay, let me take my college classes online so I can get my degree still. You know, it's like it's kind of half and half.
What a refreshing perspective, by the way.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it that way, to be honest.
Yeah, because this is so exactly why angles. I wanted to do this, by the way. Because you immediately come out and you frame this as, actually, I think there's a lot of opportunity because it's never been more flexible.
Yeah.
Right? So when you think about the question, right? This is not just a question for me, by the way. This is a question that kind of gets pulled a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's, as a generation, do people feel like they have less, more, or the same opportunity as their parents, right? And so we're still kind of in that. You said, well, you think you have some flexibility. When you think about, and by the way, maybe the answer is, I don't like the question because I'm not trying to compare that way. That's okay, right? But it's harder to represent all Gen Z by answering that way.
I still think I have it easier than you do. Like, in my opinion, because like, I don't think you could have taken a gap year. I just took a gap year, in case you guys don't know. I went to Brazil, and I did all of my studying online, so I'm still on track to graduate high school next year. And it's like, if you did that when you were in high school, I feel like it would have taken you another year to graduate. And so you wouldn't have been on track. You would have been behind all of your peers originally, and then you still would have had to go to college and do all these things. Okay. I don't know. That's where my brain is at.
Yeah. No. So, what... It's interesting. Let me direct this a little bit more specifically to finances.
Okay.
If you think about the standard of living that you have with your family today, do you think that you're likely to stay about the same? You think it'll be reduced? You think it will be more?
I think it'll probably stay about the same, at least for me.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't say for others, but...
Sure. Yeah, that's... You can't really represent all of Gen Z. We're just using you as a proxy.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think that's really, one, it's encouraging to me as a dad, because it tells me, like, hey, you know what? I can make this glass half full. Just try me, right?
Yeah.
Matt, I'm going to pivot to you for a second.
Sure.
And, you know, you're a little bit older than Madison, but still, I think you are, what, you're a millennial, right?
Yeah.
By birth, right?
Correct.
By attitude, Matt is probably World War II, just so you know.
Yeah, that's about right.
You know, it's like
I'm a boomer at heart. But
he's sitting there going like, "Stupid internet! I hate the internet. Turn it
it's
off."
It's true.
If I could put a cord on my phone, that'd be way better.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah,
I would love that. If we could go back to like pre-internet times, that'd be pretty cool.
So, all right, when you think about the question of how now you're also a dad, right? Young dad,
right?
But nevertheless, you're starting your family right now. When you look at your financial opportunity set. And you look at, and maybe it's not to compare to your parents, but do you see your opportunity set as better, worse, or about the same as where your parents were at?
I think millennials are at a weird point in life. And what I love about what Madison just said, especially for her generation, she picked up on something, right? She was talking about how kind of technology and all the other things that are here now, right? It's providing a new opportunity set. And if you look at where AI has gone just in the last month, right? People are able to create websites and apps and all sorts of things that would have taken years in a team of people to build that are like highly educated in a certain area. Now people that have more common knowledge are able to build things that are like way out of proportion to their skill set. And so when you say, hey, I actually think that our generation has a lot more opportunities, Madison might be right, right? Yeah. Like the people, you know, that are young could be building million-dollar ideas in a matter of months instead of years.
Yeah.
And so it's a pretty unique landscape, I think, for people right now.
Well,
that's a good point,
Madison. I want to hang on to this idea for a minute. Like, this is going to come back through this show. We're going to hang on to the idea that the idea of what if it could be awesome, right? Like, what if the opportunities are really there? It's just a matter of seeing them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I also think, by the way, that that's a really good way to look at things in general. There's the old expression, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Right.
And that's a Henry Ford quote, I believe.
Boss
I don't know
baby.
Where it came from. What's that?
Boss baby.
That is, well, yeah. And again, we
Henry
get our generational
Ford,
reference. So if you wonder where all of those Alec Baldwin quotes came from in Boss Baby, those came from somebody else, right? It's like, cookies are for closers. So I want to hang on to this idea of there's going to be change, right? But we got to talk a little bit about what are some of the challenges and headwinds, because a lot of people don't always see the opportunity. They see some of the challenges. So I want to talk about some of the real challenges that come with the younger generation too. I love that we start. Let's start with the optimism. Let's talk about what are some things that are going to be things to overcome. A big one out here, if you're looking at the title of the show today, you know, how do you survive in a swipe right culture? It's not what you think. It's not going to get all like, you know, just stay with me. If you don't know what swipe right means, by the way, okay, we're totally talking about a specific generational thing here. You don't need to learn it, but you will if you stick around and listen to the show. We got to grab our break, okay? So when we come back, we'll talk about it. Like, how are we going to deal with the cultural implications
what are
of
the big
instant
obstacles?
Gratification
yep.
and looking like you have wealth. Stick around. We'll be right back. I am Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And
Madison Littlejohn.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where
that.
If you are just joining us, you're going to be able to grab the podcast tomorrow, and you can see how, once again, we are learning how to stream YouTube Live in real time, and there's a learning curve. Super exciting. We'll figure it out.
It's
eventually.
Because we're old, David. If we gave this to someone that was 17, they'd have it figured out by now.
Yeah.
A different 17-year-old. Not this one.
Not this one.
So, anyway, we will get there. So when we left, all right, get ready for this one. Matt, I'm going to make you tackle it because I just...
Are you tired?
No.
Oh.
No. Because... I, believe it or not, know only about this in concept. I've actually never witnessed it.
Okay.
But can you explain to our listeners the phenomenon of swipe right?
You know, believe it or not, I got married like a month before all of these like dating sites like Tinder really popped up. So I'm not really part of it, but I have friends that are on it, and basically I can tell you the concept. I can tell you how it works.
Oh, Madison's over here. You know this concept too.
He's yeah.
Like, wait a minute. You don't have a profile.
No.
It's like,
no.
Daughter's on Tinder. Like,
no.
What?
Yeah.
On air.
Like, that was the moment at which I panicked.
No, but basically the concept is you create a profile, right? And there's a couple pictures, and you want to date someone, you've got your profile, and you get a display of other photos that pop up and a name maybe and a face, and you get to determine whether you want that person to kind of stay in your feed and have the potential to talk to them later. Or so if you do, you swipe right, and if you're like, hey, we're going to veto that person, that's a swipe left. And
it's window shopping is what it is. It's mm-hmm. window
it
shopping
is.
By pictures for dates.
And so what did people do? well, some of the, maybe the more desperate people have made machines that swipe right all day long. And so it just sits there and it just keeps swiping right. So it, you know, you match with everyone because you're like, as long as it has a heartbeat or a pulse, we're good. So
the experience between men and women is statistically very, very different. Women get a lot more propositions than men. About 10% of men get virtually all of the attention online. And so it has created some interesting cultural phenomena. Now, today is not the dating show. That's not what we're here to talk about. But what we are here to talk about is that it creates some really unique circumstances for young people. And it has created some real financial challenges that where I sit, as the old guy in the room, I see. But I've got these younger people in the room here too. And so I want to start with, and I'm going to come back to this, right? Let me start with the question, Madison, to you. What do you see as one of the biggest financial challenges ahead for you over the next, say, 10 years?
I'm going to go with student loans, but that's probably because I want to work in the medical field, and so I know that I'm going to have to take out loans. And, you know, with interest and all that stuff, I know that it's going to add up. And hopefully I'll be able to pay it back pretty quick by going into the medical field. But at the beginning, like, it's going to be so scary to have, like, $100,000 in debt first year in college. Or, well, maybe not first year, but, like, you understand what I'm
getting
at. Better not be
$100,000 the first year.
Well,
doing it wrong.
You know what I'm saying. Like, just the thought of having so much debt is really horrifying, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then having to, like, pay it back throughout my years, it's just like, ugh.
Yeah, it's scary. I know someone that went into that field and they got all the way through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like doctor level. They could not pass the test at the end. The very last test. They just couldn't pass it. And they were $175,000 in debt. Couldn't pass the test.
Horrifying.
And it's like, holy smokes. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That would be bad, bad news. Because I've said this before on the show, and I'll just quickly touch on it again. Education should be
an investment. Yeah.
Right?
Not a liability.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And so that's a big deal to make sure that if money goes in, that more money can ultimately come out. Otherwise, what you've done is you bought a problem.
Right. Like if you go in and you spend $100,000 and get a teaching degree, right? Like, teacher wages, that's how many years is that going to take to pay it back?
Yeah, that
right?
is, like, that's a legitimate problem.
There's a difference. Like, if you're a doctor and you're making $400,000 a year, well, maybe that $100,000 doesn't seem so horrible. But you got to look at what's coming out versus what's going in.
Yeah. So that's a real challenge here. I think the other challenge that I see for young people is kind of a cultural push. We talked a little about this in our office. It's the idea that the American dream is not necessarily the same. This will be a fun test. I did not prime Madison for this. Madison, we talked about this last week on the radio show, which I'm sure you listen to this show every week because it's riveting.
Right, yes.
What is your definition of the American dream?
My definition of the American dream is being able to, like, support a family, like, not a big family, but like I want to have a family and be able to support them and still work and be able to travel and do all these things.
Okay.
Well, that's, you know, yeah, that's my dream. That's my American dream.
Great. Great. So how hard is it to achieve that today, do you think?
Well, it's not sure yet, but I feel like it's going to be challenging.
That's a good attitude. That's a good attitude. See, Dad is not trying to train her that this is going to be easy street. Matt?
Yeah.
What is your definition of the American dream?
I think.
Or how about what it, I mean, or kind of, you can give us your dream if you're comfortable doing that.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, I think the American dream really is, I think it's the ability to own a house, right? And kind of what Madison said, right? Like, you want to be able to provide for your family and go do some things, right? You don't want to just be a slave to work and not your family, right? So being able to spend time with, like, actual quality time with your family, that's a big deal, right? They're going to be grown up and gone pretty quick. So can you spend time with the kids and can you provide for them?
All right. So as I listen to both of those, and families accord and so forth, If I were to ask you a really kind of a different version of the same question, though, what do you think other people believe the American dream is?
Like Europeans?
No, I mean like other Americans, right? Oh. Yeah,
I figured you'd go to Brazil. You were just there.
This is actually super. Maybe that is the right question. Like, how do I mean? You talk to people from other countries.
Yeah.
Do you have a sense of what they? Well, you know what they think about America, but you know, do they talk about the American dream, or do they have a different kind of dream?
They just didn't like America. But the thing is, they love so much about America. They just hate that. I feel like. They feel like there's a sense of superiority that's not entirely there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've often said a lot of people are jealous of the ideal of America.
Yeah.
And so when somebody has a lot of the things that you want, then you could be, because of some envy, it's like you don't like the person, but you'd kind of like to be the person, right? That puts you in a hard position there. It's also when that person makes mistakes, you celebrate in it. Right. See how they messed up. See that they're not perfect.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's one thing when the person says they're perfect and then proves they're not. It's quite another if you say, no, I never said I was perfect.
Yeah. Madison, how do you feel like people kind of treated the idea of money? Right. Like in America, I feel like everyone's like aggressively chasing money and they do it with debt often. Right. Like they're not really like owning the things that they have. They're just financing them. So like. Maybe talk to me a little bit about what you saw in regards to just the mindset behind money in Brazil.
Like, okay, I'm going to speak as what I've seen with the exchange students. Like, the exchange students that I knew had wealthier families, they weren't very concerned. They were like, oh, yeah, let's go out and get that coffee. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But the exchange students that were, they weren't poor, but, like, they had less money, you could tell, like, they were very careful with how they spent their, like, the money that they saved and their parents' money as well. Mm. And it was nice to see that because it's like... What was I trying to say?
Maybe like in America, people just kind of just swipe on cards and they don't like have any like connection to their money.
Yeah, they didn't think about it too much. I had this one really good friend. And she was like, I have to be careful. Like, I want to go out and I want to get that coffee with you, but I can't because like I just don't have the money. Like, I'll go with you and we can spend time together, but I'm not going to spend the money. Mm. And it was kind of refreshing to see that because I know that if I'd gone out with other friends, I'd be like, oh, let's do this and let's go to the mall and let's spend all this money. And it's like, I don't have that kind of money to spend, you know?
Yep. And it was that moment that Dad's heart was like, oh, good. She understands the value of money.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's a big deal, right? When you study money a lot, which is really functionally what I do for a job. And then at some point, you start to ask the questions a little bit different, right? So you are laying down the pathway to what I want to talk about stewardship, right? And this is just an area of this show that I'm just going to be a little bit bolder about going there with people. Really what we're trying to help folks understand is that you have this culture around money and it's individual, okay? The questions that we've been asking, everybody, if you've been listening to the show, you've got your own version or your own answer to each of these questions, right? And so you have this personal relationship with money. And then the question is it a healthy relationship or not? And is it leading you into better decisions or worse decisions, right? And that's really the backdrop of stewardship is how can we understand how we make the decisions and how we make them better, right? So you start with, you know, was it a need or a want, right? And you just describe that without saying it in those words, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I want to go and spend time with you. I don't need the coffee. I would prefer to keep the money around for something else that's more important to me. So I'm going to forego that, but I can still spend the quality time together. And you even reflected that was, you know, a refreshing take on it is it was okay to see somebody be financially responsible, right? That was not a shame experience that they couldn't do it. Do you think that it works that way here in the U.S.?
Kind of no.
Yeah, kind of depends on the friendship, right?
It does depend on the friendship. Like, there are some kids that I know, like, they will do whatever they can to try to fit in. Like, we have this, like, Dutch Bros. Like, kids will go to Dutch Bros all the time, and they'll spend Dutch Bros money that they don't have. And it's just like, you don't need the Dutch Bros.
But it's more of a status symbol. They just want to fit in.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, well, during my lunch break, I went to Dutch Bros, guys. I'm super cool.
Okay.
Congrats.
They spent the lunch money on the coffee.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking at the clock, and you've hit on something. We're going to come back, and we're really going to spend a little time on this one next.
We're going to unpack the Dutch Bros theory.
The Dutch Bros theory, and it's kind of the theory of, like, delayed versus instant gratification, and how do you weigh the trade, right? How do you weigh the trade? And it's hard today for young people because I think there's some real social pressure that folks may not even be aware of. And it's not just like get Dutch Brothers. It goes deeper than that. And maybe we understand that a little bit better, especially for us as parents or grandparents. If you can understand what these kids are experiencing, it gives you a different way to approach helping them develop good stewardship habits as well. And again, on YouTube, I'm about to tell you that like we kind of see you on this stuff, right? But we got to take a break, so stick around. When we come back, we will get into the weeds on this stuff. But until then, hey, we'll be right back. So this is Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
Madison Littlejohn.
And you got True Well on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where you get caught up on the podcast, but we are in studio with
Matt Dixon
and
Madison Littlejohn.
Okay, we're talking about finance from the perspective of younger folks today, and we've unpacked, and the title of the show today is, it talks about, you know, the financial pressures in a swipe right culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a little bit about this. It's a dating culture, and here's the problem, and here's really where I'm going to go with this in a hurry, and then we're going to let you guys kind of talk about this. The idea that because it's become really split decision and relatively superficial when you're window shopping for the dating marketplace, because it seems like if you're not meeting somebody in school, I don't know where you're meeting, right? Then you're using this window shopping in order to do this, then people use fairly quick and superficial knockout criteria, right? And so women largely get to be the selection committee because most of the guys, like, you know, they're out there kind of saying, all right, well, I'm trying to find a date. And women are like, well, I got too many, so I get to be picky,
mm-hmm.
right? So in that environment, you see a lot of things that start to become screening criteria. So it's physical characteristics like height or weight or build or eye color and hair color and that sort of stuff, like, shows up as criteria for whether or not somebody's eligible for consideration. And one of the things that I've observed is it seems like there's a real social pressure to signal that you are financially capable,
mm-hmm.
right? That you know, so what you see is this is why, like, why does this guy drive the big lifted truck with the big tires and everything? Is it really because that's what he wants? Or is he trying to signal that he has resources and he's valuable?
Yeah.
Right? And the question is, what do you think? Because I think there was, it's, I think some of it's, I want to be cool, but the question is, well, cool to whom and why?
I think it's stupid.
Okay, well, and next topic, right? It may be stupid, but do you think it's false?
No.
Right? I think there's some pressure. And I do. I love it when a guy is confident enough to just be like, nah, I'm not going to deal with it, right? If that's the criteria that I'm going to be judged by, then I'm going to get over it. But there are a lot of folks that are kind of exiting the dating world, too. And that creates a whole different cultural problem.
Yeah.
Right? So it's interrupting the way things behave, right? We now know that women graduate with bachelor's degrees at almost a rate of 2-1 over men.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, many more women with bachelor's degrees than men's currently. The fastest shrinking demographic in college right now, I believe, is white males from the ages of 18 to 24.
That's so sad.
Yeah, but it nevertheless, it is real, it is true, right? And so what does that do in terms of how young people navigate finance and their opportunity set? Matt, you made a really interesting point in office today about how young folks sort of live out the American dream, mm-hmm. and how it looks different. Can you share a little bit about what you talked about?
Yeah, it's just this concept, in short, of like, it's a rent-it culture, right? Like, we're not...
That's two words, right? Rent, like rental?
Yeah, rental. It's a rental culture. Yeah.
Okay.
Because you look at, like, how are people treating relationships, largely, that are younger? It's like, well, we're going to maybe hang out for a week or two. And then it's like, well, where's the next person, right? And so we're renting relationships, and we're not really homeowners, right? This isn't going to be a group, I don't think, that has massive homeowner interest.
Topic for another show. By the way, right. If anybody wants another show about this, the future of homeownership, there are some silver linings out there that are really interesting to that, but not for today's show. But if you're interested, then text us, 541-375-0898, and say, yeah, I want a show about the future of homeownership.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit on the last show, that soft life theory. Like, if you look at it, like, what's trending online? It's people that are getting motorhomes, and they're saying, well, I'm not going to own a home, but I'm going to, you know, co-op my kids and raise them on the road and with other groups, and we're going to do online school. And it's kind of a dropout culture.
It's funny, Madison's rolling her eyes, but you know, you just talked about how you were able to spend a gap year in Brazil, but it wasn't a gap year because online school enabled you to stay on pace.
That doesn't mean it was good school, though.
Well, that's a whole separate discussion, but nevertheless, yep. You know, if you took homeschool curriculum on the road and still had internet access, I know people that do it successfully. Right.
Yeah.
Now, are there trade-offs? Of course. Are there pros and cons? Of course. But the reality is that it's happening more.
What does school even look like for someone your age? That's another question I guess I would have for young people these days. Because like when we were going through school, we had to do research. We had to show our problem solving. Like, I feel like as technology continues to boom, it's like, what are they even having you do?
Yeah. Some teachers let us use Wikipedia. That was a joke. I don't know if you guys know that. It's like a thing in school. Well, it's like you never use Wikipedia. Yeah.
That's all school was when we were growing. It's like, go to Wikipedia because the encyclopedia's died. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was never a big Wikipedia guy, but I have read articles on it. But, yeah, you have to question the reliability at times.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a whole different animal. But it's – so let's kind of bring this all back together. When you are – I look at young folks today and I see the trends in education, I see the trends in incomes, and then I see the trends in the economy right now. And there's a lot of things that are disruptive, right? One thing, I remember a really big disruptive thing when I was entering the job force, right? It was in the late 90s when I was graduating from college, and there was a huge dot-com boom and then bust. And the internet had just really took off. It had just taken off, right? So it tons of computer science jobs, people were getting signing bonuses. I was not in computer science. There was no signing bonus, right? And then in the year 2000, after the Y2K thing didn't happen, which again, a lot of young people were like, what's Y2K thing? People thought all the computers were going to shut down on New Year's Eve between 1999 and 2000, because they used to not put the entire date in the computer. Literally, it was like the dates were like, you know, January 14th of 1999 was, you know, 0114 99, and they're like, well, what happens when the 99 becomes a 00? Like, does it start over? Does it think it's 1900? Does everything shut off? Are we going to lose all the power grids and we're going to wake up to like pandemonium? It didn't happen, right? Everything worked out, but for like a year and a half, everybody bought new computers like crazy because they were terrified that the world was going to end. And then it didn't end. Like the next morning, we all woke up and like, huh, look at that. Everything's still working. And then we spent the next 2 years not buying very many computers because everybody bought them all. And we went into a big economic depression and it was like, oh my gosh. So right out of school, I went through like, you know, 50% stock market correction and everything melted down. It definitely colors one's opinion of how the economy works, right? How does a young person navigate today with AI showing up? And how do you even like prove that you went to school?
It's right? A valid question. Yeah.
You know, how do teachers know whether or not it was AI or real?
The question is anyone even going to care in the future about your education? Okay.
Well, I wonder, but I know this. I absolutely care about whether or not someone is able to learn and is intelligent.
See, that's a big one. Yeah.
Right. I absolutely care because AI, we've said this before, right? In the right hands, it's a tool. In the wrong hands, it's a disaster, right? Because AI can give you the wrong answer even faster. and you can just take it and run.
End up in the way down the wrong rabbit hole.
Well, the scary part is, like I've said, if you're completely incompetent, AI will probably save you. If you're really smart, AI will make you extraordinary. If you are in the middle of the pack and don't pay close attention, AI will lead you astray and embarrass you or destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it will make mistakes, you will not catch them, but you will be blamed for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it will be bad. So like you need to like be aware that's how this stuff can work. But I think that's huge pressure for young folks, right? Because your productivity requirement is going to be higher than ever.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right, you know, just being expected to know how to use these tools and hit the ground running and just be really efficient and effective, and not everybody's wired for that. So, that'll be tricky.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that we've covered all of that, and we talked about the pressure, social pressure. So I feel like we should spend more time on the social pressure, by the way, because I still think. Like Mads, do you feel like there's any pressure to perform financially or to achieve financially from your peer group? Not from your parents. That's not fair.
Yes, but not exactly. Like, a lot of kids are just very supportive, if that makes sense. They're just like, oh, you want to go into middle school? That's so awesome. I'm so proud of you.
Okay.
But it's not like, oh, I can't believe you're going to do that. Why would you pick that as your job? They're just like, oh, I hope everything works out for you. It's kind of like...
Sounds like a good group of friends is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's always the
story. I have really good friends, and they're all super supportive. But like, I don't think I face any social pressures to like perform or go out or like do stuff. It's just like, okay, you don't want to drink? Don't have a drink.
You better not be.
I drinking. Meant like a Dutch Bros. That's what I was thinking about. No.
She is gonna get. You're gonna light me on fire live on the air, like, girl. Yeah, your mom and I will talk to you later. So, yeah, you're a minor. So, okay. Well, I think that's great that you're not feeling that pressure. Do you think others feel pressure?
I'm sure they do, but I can't speak for them because I don't. Know what they've been through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I will tell you what. I think, Matt, I'm looking at the clock.
Yeah.
Probably grab our last break, but I'd love to come back and talk a little bit about what could we advise for young people, like if they're really trying to set themselves up
Give them some things changing.
Yeah. And this isn't like, here, try to be like us. This is a, what are the opportunities and how can one set themselves up so that American dream may still be possible?
Okay, let's do that.
We'll do it. All right, so we'll grab a break. When we come back, that is what we're going to unpack. All right, so how can you talk to your kids or your grandkids? And if you are young listening to this show, you're awesome.
Take notes.
Yeah, we just will. But this next segment is going to be specifically for you. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
Madison Littlejohn.
And yeah, Truewell. On News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to the Truewell Show, where you do not want to know what we were talking about at the break, because, whoa.
Yeah, Matt knows a lot of obscure facts. Stay out of my brain. Scary place
Duly
to be.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
Let's instead talk to our young folks today about where are the opportunity sets. Some of these are going to be so... straightforward and pedestrian, then you're going to yawn. But we're going to go through and hit a few of them really quickly. I think the first one, especially for guys out there, the trades are paying better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm just talking about infrastructure-type jobs. Think about things that AI can't do. Right?
Yep.
And there may come a time when robots are more capable of doing more stuff. But right now, they are not. And so there are still jobs that need humans.
You're saying a robot's not ready to plumb my house yet?
Not yet.
Gosh darn it.
Well, and robots are great at building stuff, but they're not so great at fixing broken parts.
Yeah, right? Like the monotonous task of like maybe driving through a field and turning the wheel. It's like, if you can GPS point all of that, like, yeah, there are tractors now that can go harvest your field.
Yeah, no, they can totally do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They can do things that are really repetitive tasks, but like... plumbing in a house where it's hidden in a wall, you know, somebody's got to problem solve that and then figure out what's the most efficient thing and then kind of get in there and deal with it and patch it up, and there's aesthetics involved and everything else. So there are, that's a level of skill that's not yet something that a robot's going to be able to do.
Carpentry,
yeah, and there's a lot of craftsmanship kind of things that go with that too. So anyway, the trades are being really well compensated right now, really well, because there's a shortage. And so I think that the tradition of, oh, just go get, you know, your college degree and everything will be magic, I really question that wisdom. And this is from somebody that sits on the board of the college. I'm a big fan of education, but again, it should be an investment, not an expense.
Yeah.
Okay. Another one is, you better figure out how to be comfortable with artificial intelligence, right? I don't think this is an option. I think that this trend is coming whether you like it or not. And so you can either be sort of a concurrent adopter, or you can fall behind. Right? I mean, I just
maybe
don't know that there's...
Well, unless you're the plumber.
Well, that's...
How do I fix the toilet?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, you make a good point. Like, what if the plumber wants to be faster, right? Like, maybe you solve problems quicker with AI.
You can still use AI around your job.
Your business accounting and all the other
things. There's a lot of other functions to it, right?
Yeah.
I think that there's opportunity in the gig economy.
Mm-hmm.
Lots more episodic jobs rather than careers. And so having what you're doing is you're trading a skill set rather than trading a block of time to somebody, right? So they rent your skills from you, using your rent economy.
Yep,
and
there
so
it is.
The businesses rent your skills, pay you for them, and then you're off to, you know, rent them to somebody else.
Yep. Okay?
I see more of that in the future. Okay. There are still time-honored things that I think will work. Okay. Until we are not a capitalist society... And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek. I assume that we will continue to be a capitalist society, although there are really kind of interesting and disconcerting social trends around this. I think those trends are born out of sort of anger, frustration, and misdirection, right? About any time that somebody says, you know, we should be communist or something, I go, boy, you really haven't looked at history, because that idea only sounds good in a textbook. But in implementation, it has never played out, ever. And anytime say, well, this time would be different. Go, oh, because human nature is completely evolved.
Right.
Yeah. No, the only person that has evolved was the person that thought it was going to be real until they had to do it. And then guess what? You're like every other human.
Yeah.
So let's not be stupid. But as long as we're still capitalist, I think investing in capital ventures over time, you know, dollar cost averaging long term into tax efficient investments is still a good plan. You can build wealth slowly and consistently over time by doing the same boring investing that we have talked about on this program for over 10 years now.
Yeah. And if you wonder what we're talking about, probably go catch the podcast somewhere on our website.
Yeah, there's like a million of them. Or this is one, all right, call us, right? I have a special place in my heart for people that are trying to get started. The truth of the matter is that our firm is not well built to serve every person on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just not. And there's lots of reasons for that. We do have kind of a sweet spot for the clients that we serve. But my passion is to help everybody, and that's why we do this show.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to teach you how to be a better steward, and I want to teach you how to navigate this world and have hope to get it to like that you can be okay in it.
Yeah.
So for young people, like what do we talk about stuff at home like this too. Like,
yeah.
What's the first one, right? Spend less than you make.
Yeah.
Right? Save a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then investing is long term. And we talk about things like integrity is what you do when no one's watching.
We have that talk a lot.
Right? I mean, these are all important things that make up our character.
Yeah.
But making good financial decisions is part of the game. You know, you just spent a year in Brazil, Madison. What were some of the financial decisions that you were responsible for that maybe you hadn't had to deal with before?
Well, I had a credit card for the first time. I don't know if that's a financial decision, but it was scary to me, actually, because I was like, I don't feel like I'm spending money when I use the card. I was just like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, wait, I can't be doing that.
Yeah. That's probably, if you learn this lesson now, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Because every time you swipe a credit card, you really are spending money. It is by design that it gets you detached from the money.
Which is so silly.
Well, it's the same reason that casinos use chips instead of dollars. It feels different to let a dollar go than it feels to let a chip go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They are trying to detach you emotionally from the money. It changes your decisions.
It's working.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if the study is still accurate, but at one time it used to be that you would spend on average 13% more if you used a credit card than if you paid cash for things.
That checks out, honestly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that number, now is literally being pulled out of a hat. But, you know, some years ago, that was a real figure. I don't know what it is today if they're still studying it. But it was, so at one point, it was at least 13% more because, oh, well, you know, just swipe the card. I don't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is the biggest part of there's a real cultural challenge that we have in the U.S.
That's why all these companies want you to subscribe to a payment, right? Because then you don't even have to swipe the card. Stuff just shows up.
Yeah. Well, we have talked so much about that. Young people, you cannot afford it just because you can make the payments.
Well, what's even worse than that is, like, how many times have you met with someone and then they come in and they're in financial shambles? And then you're like, well, look at all the things that you're spending money on. You've got to change your lifestyle. And then they're unwilling to, right? Yep. Like, if you're going to make a change, oftentimes, I think, for a lot of younger people, it's like you're going to have to take a moment to step back and look at what you've been doing and then know that you're going to have to change something that you are doing.
Yeah. Change is not easy on this one. But, you know, that's why I'm trying to talk to young people today is if we could help you develop good habits out of the gate, then you don't have to correct things as much, right? So start with good habits. Unfortunately, we don't teach a lot of this in school, right? It's just not what happens. Like, so, and I know this because I know a lot, I know a lot of your teachers, and they come to me, you know, behind the scenes and go, could you really help me with this? Because, oh my gosh, right? It's just not something that we equip teachers with to teach students. So where are they going to learn it?
They don't, is the reality. Yeah.
So I will tell you that if you guys are new to the YouTube thing, we have a series that's a little bit older about what the stuff about money they don't teach in school. It is still on our YouTube page if you want to go
this
check that
is
stuff
KQEN
out.
It's
made during
local
COVID for people in high school. So that'll just give you an idea of where it's geared. And also, if there are things that you think we need to communicate to young people, let us know. How can they reach us, Matt?
Yep. Give us a call at 541-375-0898 or shoot us an email at info@littlejohnfs.com.
All right. Well, we're out of time for now. Went fast. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Yes, of course.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And Maddie Littlejohn.
This was True Wealth.